Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the extra hour. We were doing some furniture moving around. We got it slid over. Kind of like threw my back out with picking up that heavy stuff on the desk, but we got that thing totally handled now.
It is handled.
That's the first VFNU class. Remember that? Oh, my goodness. It was crashed. Well, here we are, the extra hour of VFN Radio. We've been talking about, and we're going to talk about the lockdown. The lockdown and the shutdown. These are signs. I mean, you think about it. These are signs about what's taking place in the world. Jesus said to those around him. He says, even the farmer knows when to plant. Even the farmer knows when to plant. Yeah, he knows when the signs are happening in the heavens. He knows what's going on. But think about this. He says, but you don't even know the signs. Well, these are signs. When your government shuts down, when it's on lockdown because of one particular lady that's driven by darkness, just one lady driven by darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it. Those who are in more control of the darkness and they're trying to strategize and organize, she just got a whiff of it. And whatever darkness just came and pushed her, all of a sudden she starts doing what's on the hearts of a lot of people that's moving in darkness wants to do to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, our empathy goes out for the officer that was, the Capitol officer that was in pursuit of her, and these posts come out of the ground. They come out of the ground to protect their barriers, but they just like big poles come out, and it came right up under his car when he was going at a high rate of speed and just ripped it to pieces. And hopefully be able to see it on the VFN torch what happened there. But just he's in the hospital being treated. Last I heard, I don't know if he's been released yet. Remember him. I mean, think about it. The last thing that I'd want to be doing right now is to be a Capitol Police officer or in the Secret Service. Pray for our Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for our Capitol Police. Realize these guys and these men and women, they're the ones that stand there in the context of protecting the whole idea of America's government, and that we don't want anything to happen to anyone, anything in Washington, D.C. We want to be able just to repent and move on and get things back in order again. And with that, so it's on shutdown, on shutdown because of Congress. You're hearing all, I mean, pretty much if you haven't been listening to VFN Radio and you haven't been watching, I don't know, Fox News, if you've been listening to the other 99 potential broadcasts that are out there, they're telling you, they're blaming it on one piece of Washington, D.C. They're blaming it on Congress. And since, you know, Christians don't read their Bible, only 3% read their Bible, and most don't even know our Constitution,
mm-hmm.
We don't even know what they're talking about. We're just listening to the bully going, he did it. He did it. And it's like, we got to get some light on this. Realize our founding fathers, the very first educational book written in 1777 at the Declaration of Independence was a book that glorified God. I mean, it's a school book, the ABCs, the alphabets, dictionary, reading book. I'm looking at it right here. Aren't we looking at it? This
yeah.
is it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a nation that was founded on God, one nation under God. And the reason why they found this out was they found the Word of God and the God of the Word. It was broke loose from religious captivity. And if you have not yet heard, you need to go back and listen to, you go to VFN Torch or on your app, America, how we got here and how do we stay here? And in that, you'll find out there's a reason, the only reason America's concept and idea can exist is because of God. That's why the enemy's working so hard to push God out of everything. Because if we have God, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But if we don't have God, we go right back into the tyranny that we signed a Declaration of Independence to be away from,
mm-hmm.
which was religious bondage, darkness, and captivity. And that's what happens. He just said that's what happens in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, if we don't choose to understand what we're talking about. And so when I'm reading the Constitution here, I'm going to read you just a little bit of the Constitution to understand what's taking place with the government shutdown, that they're blaming Congress, mean Congress. I'm just going to go around Congress. You know, them Congress folks, them Congress, those Congress, I mean, it's like, and all of a sudden there's just like, it makes me think of the very last tactic of Alinsky. The very last task of Alinsky, and I don't have that book, my notes in front of me, is Let me find it here, because you got to hear it. This is exactly what's going on. Is tactic number 13, and we're not going to talk about it, but just to, you'll get an understanding of what's going on right here, because it's one of Zelensky's children. Pick the target, freeze it, polarize it, and personalize it. Pick the target. This is tactic number 3 from Zelensky and all of Zelensky's children who follow his teachings, which is dedicated to Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the target, freeze the target, personalize the target, and polarize it. What's the target? Congress.
Mm.
And they're actually making Congress, which is your representative, who actually you're probably the only one you know in D.C. that is really close enough to you, because the Congress represents the people in your state. And this, and then you have Congress made up of the Senate and the House of Representatives. And so even outside the Senate, if you pushed away the executive branch and you pushed away the Senate, and all you have was the House of Representatives, that is a greater representation of who we are, because there's more of them coming from your state than anybody else. And they represent different portions of your state, so where all your people in your state are represented. So they actually have a clearer voice about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called representative government. And it's based on population. So if you have 50 people in your state, you have less representatives in the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have 11 million people in your state, you have more representatives. Mm-hmm. You have so many per, I believe, 6,000 or something people in your state.
Right.
And so for somebody to say they're going to go around Congress, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Americans are destroyed for lack of knowledge as well. They're going around you, brother. They're going around you. Mm-hmm. They're actually saying, this is what they're saying. They're saying, I don't want to listen to the American people. I don't want to hear your representatives. But if you see the House of Representatives, because understand, in Senate you have two men, two women, or variants thereof, two people from your state.
Mm.
That's it. And so you know how many opinions are in your state? Come on. It's got to be more than two opinions.
Yeah.
And so they do their best to figure out what they're going to, what their agenda is. That's not good representative government. But it is if it first goes to Congress, the House of Representatives first, because they actually represent you. You can talk to your congressman, and you can say, have town hall meetings, and you can let them know what you're feeling, what you're thinking. And I'm talking about the original tent here, and to understand why that there's a shutdown here. And then the Congress, then the House of Representatives, then makes a bill, and they pass it over to the Senate. Now, you only have two people from your state at that point. But it's okay, because maybe 50 people from your state just gave a review of it, and they did all the committees, and they studied it, and they talked to you, they listened to your feedback. And now when they turned it over to Senate, those two people need to listen up, because the greatest majority of you and your representatives just spoke. And they should just pretty much, I wouldn't say rubber stamp it, because they have to balance the national concepts of what's going on, but also, hello, not ignore you and not act like you don't exist and only pay attention to the swing state type thing, because they're your representatives. And then you have the executive branch, which is one person. So you have the House of Representatives, which is a whole bunch of people, you know, one for every, I might have it right here in front of me if I just give you the number. But one for every maybe 6,000 folks in your state. And I'll have to give you the numbers exactly. You can find out more in the original tent. We've already talked about it already. And then, so it kind of works its way down to one.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work its way from one to many. It works its way from many to one. This is the original tent. Things should start in the House of Representatives. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because you might have 100 representatives from your state there. And that means, imagine your state being broken up to 100 different districts. And so you have 100 different town hall meetings, and y'all talk to him or her. You go, hey, this is crazy, or this is good. I think we should have health care. I think we shouldn't have health care. I think we're broke. I think we need to pay our bills. I think we need to have a better relationship with Israel. You know, and you begin to tell them your ideas and your concept. And so they go represent you. They're not supposed to go be mini kings or M-I-N-I queens. They're supposed to be representatives of you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear a congresswoman or congressman say, hey, I'm just representing the people in my district. If they're actually doing that, that's exactly what they're doing. That's what they're supposed to do. It's representative government.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see where the House of Representatives has a better understanding of what's going on and a better feel for you. A better feel if you're actually emailing them, texting them, communicating them, posting on their Facebooks, and just sharing with your thoughts. You have a right to share your thoughts and petition your government.
Yeah, it's actually 674,000 residents.
For one representative, one congressman for one representative for every 600,000.
Right. You're creating one congressional district.
I can barely hear your mic.
Congressional district for each 674,000 residents.
Wow.
Approximately.
Wow. Well, so I know that, so then not to pay attention to that one congressman is not to pay attention to 600,000 of you in your state.
Right.
Think about that. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but not to pay attention. And so then they represent you. They go back and they decide based on what you said, and they put all the opinions, the micro opinions of the state, the country together in one big house of representing you, one big house of representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go present what they're going to do, a bill, and they turn it over to the Senate. They turn it over to the Senate. And in that, now the Senate has two men, two people, two women, two human beings representing your entire state. That is not a good representative of everybody.
Right.
But they're important because now they're looking at the context of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making sure that you are represented in the context of how the nation works. And so they should lean towards, strongly towards, since they're senators from your state, your desires. 50 states, two senators, 100 senators, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's only 100 of them guys and ladies, men and ladies.
Right.
And so out of 530, for example, say there's 530, and there's only 100 senators, that would be, what, 429, 430 Congress, well, House of Representatives from your states, all mm-hmm. of our states.
Right.
So do you want to listen to the 100 or do you want to listen to the 430 who had town hall meetings and listened to you and emailed mm-hmm. and communicated and that type of thing?
Right.
And then finally, it goes from the 430 or all the, you know, 1 per 604,000 people in your states, which is a lot of us. And then it goes to the 2 per state, which is the Senate. And now it goes to the executive branch. It goes to the president, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1. One. And it's so it's supposed to go in that direction because right. by the time it gets to the president, this was the original intent of George Washington. If by the time it gets to the president, it's the heart of the people because there's a government by the people and for the people. Now, if it goes from the 1 to the 2 to the 1 per 604,000, the representatives, that's called a that's called a king.
Yeah.
That's king, and this is just my cabinet, and we're actually, this is my parliament, and we're just kind of issuing out the orders and all. But when you think about this, when you read the Declaration of Independence, read it, 1776. They declared their independence from that kind of concept and that kind of government. In 1776, the Declaration of Independence says, we declare these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, and they begin to list about all their different reasons why they're breaking away from this tyranny-type form of government. And the next thing they do after writing that, okay, we're declaring our independence from you, they wrote this book in 1770s, began to teach the children the ways of God, right?
Right.
In English and writing and all that. Then they wrote the Constitution, in 1787. It took a while to put it together. I mean, they actually first had to declare their independence. And then, but this is the beginning, the very beginning of their writings. This is called the preamble to the Constitution. And it's very important because they're trying to figure out, you know, what's happening? What's happening? Why is it shut down? And why is this on lockdown because of one woman driven by darkness mm-hmm. with a baby in the back seat? Why are they, it's craziness, but not if you understand what's happening here. And it says, we the people, this is the preamble, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, but we're doing that now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Provide for the common defense, which is of America, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our children, our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. In other words, we want to be able to have a free nation, not just for us, but we want to live it in a way that our children and our children's children have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're talking about. So the very first article to the Constitution, the very first one, the very first thing they write, they don't write the president in, they don't write the Senate in, They write the House of Representatives in. Because they're coming against tyranny. They're coming against dictators. They're coming against, listen, this is one nation under God. And we got to, it's a government by the people and for the people. And so they wrote in Congress, is the Section 1, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, where which shall consist of the Senate and the House of Representatives. And Section 2 is, it talks about the establishment of the House of Representatives. And then in Section 3, Mr. Reed, that's when you're talked about. That's when the Senate is established. And in Section, Article 3 of the Constitution. Think about it, Article 3 now. We're already down to 3. That's when the judicial branch is put in. And in Article, let me get this right, in Article 2 is when the president's put in. So first you have Congress, and in the Congress you have the House was talked about first, right, in Section 1. The Senate was talked about second. In Article 2 you talked about the president. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's in the context of our form of government, it's a government by the people and for the people. So we have to listen to their representatives because it's actually by them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to read the bill before you pass the bill, because you're representing the people.
Right.
That's why, how crazy that is. And so in the context of that, this is important. You're thinking, what does this have to do with anything? Well, it has to do with our nation. The Constitution means this. For example, when you look at your body, if you go to an operation, for example, or somebody donates their body for medical reasons, and so they've passed, but they're given the body so doctors can learn, and they look at the body, all the parts of the body, and what the body's made up of. Here's skin. Here's a brain. Here's eyes. Here's heart. Here's lungs. And doctors learn how to work on bodies. And so what they're doing is they're studying the constitution of human beings, the human body, because that's what it's made up of.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, there is no human, right?
Right.
So then they study the constitution of the human body is what they're doing,
because
it means what you're made up of, right?
Yeah.
In regards to your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so when you talk about the Constitution of the United States, that's our body. That's what we're made up of. So to remove any part of our body is for the whole thing to be thrown out. To remove the heart, to remove the lungs, to remove the brain. So the word constitution is not doesn't mean some thesis. It's what we're made up of. That's why it's so important. That's why police officers just can't stop you on the middle of the road and just start doing something to you outside your constitutional rights. It's the constitution that restrains them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the constitution that says that this police officer has to take you before a jury of your peers. You know, it's the Constitution that does that. Don't let them remove this thing. But the very first article in the Constitution talks about Congress, and the second one talks about president. And it makes sense when you understand, because Congress represents you, and not only in the order of Congress, it's the representatives first and then Senate second, because there's only two folks from your state that represents your Senate, but there's one for every 604,000, which is more of the population. They have town hall meetings to talk to them. You can cover those folks. So then what happens? How do they secure this when they wrote this? This is what they did to make sure that this thing didn't turn around. Because when you look, if the president was to die in office, he got sick or had a heart attack like presidents have in the past, and they have their own doctor, then the vice president, that's why you have a vice president. So he can actually take over, or she can take over from the president,
because
that's kind of the one they picked. That's their second person in charge that could pick. But let me tell you who the third person is. The third person's not the head of Senate. Let me tell you who the president of the Senate is. The president of the Senate is the vice president. So it's not, he is the one over the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
That's who it is. He's the one that makes the deciding vote in the Senate.
Uh-huh.
So who would be the third person in charge if for whatever reason that we lost our president and vice president? It would be the Speaker of the House, the president of the Senate. I mean, the president of the Congress, excuse me, the president of the Congress. Why? Because they represent you. That is the biggest, most accurate pick in such terrible circumstances of who will be the next one in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. So by not paying attention to the third person in potential command of your nation and just saying, I'm going to go around this person who you picked that represents you, is to go around you.
Right.
So what did they put in the Constitution to assure that this order would not be changed? What did they put in the Constitution to make sure that all of a sudden we didn't end up in tyranny again, that we didn't end up under a king again, that all of a sudden had a parliament, that he would just close down for whatever period of time because they wouldn't listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
What did they issue to make sure that it stayed in the representatives first, Senate second, executive branch third, and the third article, which is it talks about in the third article about the judicial branch, that it gives them an inferior court. And just and if they have good behavior, they can stay there.
Right.
It was not a permanent appointment. It had the weakest form of government, even though they have equal powers. And so this is what they did was, and you understand why now, because they represent you. There's more of them from your state than anybody else, and they're talking to you. That's why you got to talk to them. Because if you don't talk to them, the senator's going to talk to them, and the president and his cabinet's going to talk to them, and all these people who are trying to promote their ideas and concepts, can't think of their names right now, they come in there and they just kind of tell them their agendas and all.
Mm.
You say to your congresswoman, congressman, you represent us. And they do. That's what they want to do. But if you're not saying nothing, they got to come up with their own leadership in the context of that. And this is what they did. And this is why the government is shut down. This is what they did. No matter what happens with Article 2, no matter what happens with Article 3, no matter what happens in the executive branch or the judiciary branch, and no matter what happens in Senate, because they don't really represent you well
mm-hmm.
in regards to numbers.
Yeah.
Everything gets funded. The money comes from the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make all the laws you want to and push them on the people. But they say, well, I'm sorry, the people we're talking to don't want this health care plan.
Yeah.
They don't want it because they don't want it. It's not because they don't want people to be healthy and we got to figure this thing out. You're destroying our country. It's more than we can pay. We're already $12-17 trillion in debt. Mm-hmm. And this is what they're hearing. The representatives are hearing this.
Yeah.
And so what the representatives just did, and you heard Senator Ted Cruz out of Texas do, he said, listen, the people overwhelmingly from the House of Representatives and what we're hearing, they don't want this. And so we cannot go against the will of the people. So we will actually pass everything that you have. We will okay the entire budget. We will fund you. We will give you all the money you want for everything that you want. We're just not going to fund what the people don't want funded,
mm-hmm.
which is the health care.
Right.
That's what's being said right now. So now when all of a sudden you see the last tactic of children of Alinsky going, you know, they're picking a target, they're freezing it, they're personalizing it, they're polarizing it. You know what they're doing? They're picking you as the people of America. They're targeting you. They're freezing you. They're personalizing you and they're polarizing you because that is your representative. And you told them, don't fund this thing. And they're doing it and you need to back them up because you sent them there not to fund them. And if they okayed the whole budget and they gave money for everything else,
mm-hmm.
then they are actually trying to be kings. Kings. Unconstitutional. And guess what? They're blowing out of the water what we're made up of, the U.S. Constitution.
Wow.
That is the original intent. That's why the government's shut down right now, because it's working the way it's supposed to work. Everything's funded.
Hmm.
Everything's funded. Except for the one thing the people of America overwhelmingly said, we just can't fund this. We don't have the money to fund this thing.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you make a decision without your spouse's input, it might be a recipe for conflict. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and wife and mom Mary Byers tells us how to avoid this predicament.
We have a policy at our house where neither of us accepts an invitation without first checking with the other person. Neither of us volunteers the other person without approval first. So I think policies are a really good way to be able to say no. Some of the policies I've heard people say, we don't answer the phone during dinner time. That's a way to create a boundary around the family. We don't buy anything that's over $100 without first talking to each other. So policies actually can simplify some of your yesing and some of your knowing.
Some great advice there. And our family has benefited from having policies in place that we've agreed about. And you can find additional insights to help your family thrive when you stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion, and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you, you can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program, just that you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in your area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You know, John, I remember specifically my parents bringing up when they were kids, they used to listen to and watch the I Love Lucy marathon.
And oh, yeah.
Really?
Definitely. Definitely. I didn't really get to catch more than probably about 5 minutes of an episode. And there was also like the, you know, the Gilligan's Island marathon. And as a kid, I used to watch the Cartoon Network and I used to watch my, the Ninja Turtles. And there was the marathon weekend or the marathon constantly, the consistent program back to back. But I know that when you're listening to the VFN radio program, you're like, I want more. Is there more God? Yes. There's the marathon weekend where you can listen to back-to-back-to-back programs of the VFN radio program. 9 a.m. Central Saturday to 9 a.m. Central Monday. Check it out. Every weekend, all God. The marathon weekend.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. What's joining me is Pat Hamilton. We are just finished talking about, you know, getting a original understanding of what's taking place in America with the government shutdown. If you missed it, I truly believe if you listen to this, you're going to understand what's going on. And when things are working right, those that are actually want bad things for our country are going to tell you they're working wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to find out what does the Constitution say, you know, what we're made up of. And it just really makes sense, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
They're actually doing their job. They're doing the job. And when they said they wanted to fund everything, that means everything that you need right now, mm-hmm. they wanted to fund except for the one thing the American people said they didn't want to fund. So they actually provided everything for everybody. While the Senate, a few folks, not many from your state, too, mm-hmm. exactly,
mm-hmm.
are saying, we reject everything. We're going to shut down the government. And then the president rejects everything and says, mm-hmm. shut down the government. And then they actually polarize and target the Congress.
Right.
They're
blame
the ones
them
that
for
did it.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that kept it going.
Yeah.
They opened it up.
Crazy.
So just don't believe everything that you hear. We're talking about continuing the conversation. We started this yesterday towards the end of the extra hour. So I want to be able to get kind of deeper in the fourth tactic of Saul Alinsky's tactics, which the president taught for 4 years, reportedly, and we have a picture of him actually teaching it mm-hmm. on yesterday's VFN Torch. You can see it there. And regards to a handbook, if you will, for community organizing. And he taught these tactics, they report. He taught these tactics for 4 years, and he operated in it. And when he follows the teachings of Alinsky. And so at least he followed at that time. And what we're looking at, because we're trying to make sense, you know, what we're praying, God, you know, what's the strategy? What's the strategy going on? And the Lord just spoke to me very specifically. He says, I'm going to reveal the strategies to you, the strategies of the enemy to you. Mm. And the enemy is not people. The enemy is Satan and darkness and that type of thing. And we can be held captive by darkness, but we can be set free. And God gives us an opportunity to enter into the light. Well, out of 13 tactics, the fourth tactic, and the reason why we're talking about this, because in the beginning of his book, Rules for Radicals, it's dedicated to Lucifer, to Lucifer, and saying that he was the first radical and he's the first one that organized. And he attributes the concept, and they're just following the steps of Lucifer. Mm-hmm. That's the front of the book. The back of the book's dedicated to who? Children of Alinsky.
Right.
You have Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. and Barack Obama. So when you think about it, when we saw both of these people, Americans, running for office during the time when they're running against each other, trying to get the nominee, that was a brother and a sister. That was a brother and a sister who totally, mm-hmm. totally got each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't know that. I mean, God's just revealing to me now, but I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she's giving him that look and he's giving her that look, they're both like, you know, which organizer is going to get chosen? Mm-hmm. And I was listening to, I don't know if we have it. I was listening to President Obama's pastor that married him, Pastor Reverend Wright.
Oh, yeah.
And he mentored him, he said. He married him and his wife, Michelle. And he was talking about him, and he said, he said, this is what his pastor said. She says he's no longer his pastor, but during that time he said, you don't understand, because you're expecting these things from the president. And I think he said Barack, mm-hmm. but you're expecting things from the president, and you did not select him. This is a quote. We'll make this available to you. I don't know if we have it here available on the play. But he said he was selected, and then he was elected.
Yeah.
He was selected. In other words, you remember there were some meetings that went down, and they gathered Alinsky's children, and whoever the greatest leader in all of this is, I guess, they sat down and they said they selected who it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it was real strange, because they were neck and neck, and they were running neck and neck in the context of that. All of a sudden there was a selection made. It was like, what happened? It looked like it was going to go one way and it went the other way. And all of a sudden it's like daddy got onto us, and now this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. And this is the order.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's what, Reverend Wright, said. He said he was selected. He says, you don't understand. He was selected before he was elected. So he has to be able to do what the ones who selected him to do. He has to, he's obligated. When he says, and he starts naming organizations, he starts naming corporations, he says, I am this. What he's saying is, this is what his pastor's saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm going to do what they want me to do. You know, I'm going to do what I said I would do if they put me in office.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the context of that, that's what he was saying. And then Reverend Wright goes on to say, on an interview on Fox and a recorded interview of audio being played, reportedly on, I forget the particular announcer, we'll come in a minute, is that... he said, you got a problem. And this is Senator Obama at the time. He says, you got a problem. And he's talking to a pastor versus an organizer. Now, President Obama, or Senator Obama, is a Alinsky's child. He's Alinsky's He's been trained. He's following Alinsky's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe his pastor is following God's teachings. But this is what the pastor says. Pastor Wright says this. Reverend Wright says, he says, your problem is, this is what the organizer is telling him.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling him Alinsky methodologies.
Right.
He said, your problem is you've got to tell the truth. Now, this is what his pastor is saying,
mm-hmm.
that Alinsky's child is telling him, that Barack Obama is telling him, that if you understand the Alinsky model of organizing and what he taught for 4 years, you don't have to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to tell the truth. And so then the Reverend Wright goes, well, you don't have to understand. He says, you have to understand, politicians don't have to tell the truth. And many have not,
right.
by the way. Many have lied, and again and again, and so many people have experienced the ramifications of those lies.
Mm-hmm.
So if in fact, that our president said something that was untrue, misspoke, it won't be the only thing that has ever happened in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But the context of it, this is what his pastor is saying. And so who selected him and what happened and why? And but you see them as the same family and they're both following Alinsky, which means there's other ones that are following Alinsky too. I mean, when you see the first meeting was with Bill Ayers reportedly, right, which was part of the radicals of the 60s that was organizing to be able to overturn the government. There's a reason why. It's like he was selected,
mm-hmm.
according to his pastor, before he was elected. So everybody that had the controlling majorities of how they were going to push things, had the unions or whatever, they said, okay, he's our man. He'll do what we want done. Sort of like Woodrow Wilson was selected. And they went to the university and they selected him as well. And so we're saying that because these tactics have been taught. And so I would say he knows them inside and out. If he did them, he talked to them. That Hillary Clinton did a paper on, a thesis on Alinsky, the ways of Alinsky. You can see it in yesterday's segments, and you can see in detail and go read the stuff and just click on the links and it takes you right to what it says about her paper and how they sealed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would you seal it? And it shows you too why when she got her husband got elected to the White House and all of a sudden they say you got two for one.
Mm.
Because she was wanting to apply the Alinsky. She was one of Alinsky's children. She wanted to be able to use this place of power to begin to bring healthcare in. That was the first thing she wanted to do, was to bring healthcare in. And for all the people of America said, majority said, wait a minute, you have nothing against you or anything,
yeah,
but
we elected
your husband. We didn't elect you as the president. And now what's happening? Now you're seeing where the next president of the United States, if it goes according to plan, potentially is going to be another one of Alinsky's children.
Mm.
It's going to be Hillary Rodham Clinton, supposedly. I don't know about politics, but it looks like that's the order of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the fourth tactic that the president taught when he was teaching while he's working for Alinsky? He taught these tactics, and the fourth tactic is this, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, I'm going to continue talking about it, is make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. Make the enemy live up to his own book of rules. You can kill them with this, for they can no more obey their own rules than the Christian church can live up to Christianity. Think about this. Now, this is somebody who says I was Christian,
mm-hmm.
teaching people that Christians can't be Christians. It's like, Christian means Christ follower, doesn't mean rule follower, by the way.
Right.
And so in the context of that, this is what was being taught. And so what happens, one of the tactics is the law. It's the law. And so when you think about that, we got to understand the law of God's word and what the expectations are. And he says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, what does it say about the law? If you don't get this right, you're going to be organized.
Hmm.
You're going to be telling people, and this is what's really, is it not happening? We're seeing people try to project scripture on other people in the world who said no to God, who came up with some other God,
mm-hmm.
and they're not following Jesus. And they're saying, as if they're actually following the letter of the law, they're actually telling the world, you need to line up with what God says. And so he's saying these are people who are easy to organize because all you got to do is make them live up to their own rules, their
right.
own scripture. And this is what, let me help you out so you don't get organized here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13 says, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because righteousness will come, for the righteous will live by faith, which means this. If your mindset is, that you're right with God because you're obeying some law, you're not. No one is. But you've convinced yourself, you're deceived that you are. Alinsky's children is going to eat your lunch.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to eat your lunch. They're going to start pointing out all the things, all of your failures and everything that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7. Because the whole thing is that nobody's justified by the law. But if you're beginning to move in the law and you're telling people and you're projecting your moral majority, all that kind of stuff on secular government, you know, you're just opening yourself up for one of Alinsky's children to come in there and say, okay, let's do this thing. You know, and we'll talk more about this after the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
And I like that somewhat idea. You know, I've been having that on my heart as well. So we must be, you know, we must be connected there. But I'm definitely going to, you know, I'm really going to work real hard to get
talking
me a sailboat.
Talking about a sailboat and you just, I don't know. They're
no,
not, it's not
no,
clicking.
Come on, man.
It's not clicking.
Listen, you know that I'm basically a fish. I love the water. I love the ocean.
So why don't you go diving
then? But I've been on a boat with you. Yeah. I just, you know, I don't get it.
But that was a one-time experience, Chris, on the boat many, many years ago, at night, no less.
Right.
And the most
even
choppy.
Better, you don't see the waves.
Oh, I felt every bit of those waves in the dark. Man, I was.
If you're such a fish, though, why won't you go diving?
Maybe one day. Maybe one day. I like to be on
he's
top.
A little minnow.
I like to be on top of the water. Now, I don't know how so much down, you know?
Okay.
But I, you know, do like the water sports, you
scared?
Know? Scared? I don't want to say scared. Concerned. Concerned would be a good word. You know, I told this story what happened to me and my brother-in-law one time going on that kayak. You know, there was this big school of fish. I've shared that. Oh, yes, yes.
No, what happened?
Sure, yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Please do. Confess.
You know, me and Jerry were on this kayak, and it's a beautiful day, man. Those kayaks, they give you an illusion because on the water, they feel like they weigh nothing. But them things are like about 100 pounds of solid plastic. Yeah, at least 100 pounds. Got to be
this
more
is
than
a
that.
Kayak.
A kayak.
And when you sit down in, okay.
Right. It was a 2-man kayak. It's pretty big. Probably maybe 12 feet long. Probably. Okay. And there's this solid plastic. You know, they're built, but they float in the water and all that. Well, the waves are really choppy. So the one side has a handle, and the other for that person to carry. You need two grown men to carry this thing. There's no one man can drag this that heavy. And so we're in the water, and the waves are just. All over the place and just smashing us, and we're like, we're gonna go into the deep, we're gonna do this thing, we're gonna conquer these little waves. So we finally, you know, we fell over a couple times. You get a good wave, it's a 200-pound weapon. It's gonna bang your, you know, ankles or your shin right underneath you. I mean, you got to get out there pretty quick because if you stay in the shallow, that thing will beat you to death.
It's no joke.
So we get out there and we hop on and. And we're paddling towards the wave now, towards the wave. So you're rising up with the water, man, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know. And you got to keep your balance.
Mm-hmm.
But we're making it good. We're like going way out deep now. We've overcome a couple waves. We, you know,
feeling good about yourself, huh?
Huh? Yeah, you're feeling good because we haven't
capsized.
Yeah, we've fallen about 5 times prior to that, you know. So now we're doing good, and all of a sudden. We're in deep water now. We're past the part where...
You're in no man's land.
No man's land. You know, in the beach, there's a certain portion where they have the rope. Past this far, you know.
You're on your own bow.
So the lifeguards are not responsible for you. We have passed the rope, and all of a sudden... Okay. Before a huge wave comes, there seems to be like this valley, this this valley before the wave is it's this cresting up over you, and all of a sudden we see this huge, huge school of fish. And I'm telling you, these fish had to be at least, I don't know, they look like 3 feet long in length and maybe 2 feet wide, and it were these dark, dark black spots. I'm thinking, what kind of fish could, what is this? Uh-huh. What is this?
Right.
And we're like, oh no, we're like, don't fall. Oh my goodness, there's a school right below. Don't fall in this. Don't. And as soon as we said don't fall, we fell right over them.
Oh no.
Man, you haven't seen two men move so fast. He says that I caused the kayak to fall over.
Well, you probably did.
No, I didn't. I was paddling really good. You know, moving side to side. You can get it. You use both sides of this thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we fell. I didn't jump the gun, and I didn't blame him. You know, but he tends to blame me on that one. But man, that was a blast. I mean, it's so much fun. We made it back to shore.
Did you ever see the fish up close?
No, praise God. I mean, they just came right underneath us, I guess, kept going. But I thought, okay, I'm going to be with Jesus out here.
It's over.
It's over. These things are going to get me, whatever they are.
Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Man, not too long ago, I even saw a stingray. A stingray that came real close up to the shore. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in there, but I'm an ocean guy. And this time, I think I liked it. Been on the jet skis, I like that. Uh-huh. But I think it's in.
I'm gonna get you under the ocean one day.
No, I don't know about under.
I'm gonna get you under.
I don't know about under, but I definitely want to, you know, cruise the water, do a little, you know, Christopher Columbus type stuff, and you know, uh-huh. get out there and explore a little bit.
Right.
Mm. You know, my son and I had a journey on a canoe, but that's for another time on VFN Radio.
We don't have time for that one.
No, we don't have time, and that was a very interesting moment. But in the water, we got to be in the water. We survived it. We made it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat. We're talking about the fourth tactic of the Alinsky model, written about in his Rules for Radicals, dedicated to Lucifer in the front and dedicated to his children in the back, Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama. And the first tactic talks about, hey, make them live up to the book of the law. Well, we talked about in Galatians chapter 3, that verse 10, clearly no one who relies on the law will be justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. And so you think, well, how evil is this? Then somebody's trying to force me to live up to the law. Understand this, that is God reckoning with men when he allows don't want to use that terminology because that wouldn't fit well, but he uses the people who are held captive by the enemy,
mm-hmm.
to push you against the wall, to remind you you're saved by grace and not by works. That's the blessing of God,
right?
Versus just letting you go bust hell wide open. And so making you live up to the law, you're confronted with two things. One is great humility, where you have to say, I don't know where I was lifting myself up like that. I am so sorry. So just in case you don't know or not, you know, all of my righteousness is filthy rags, and I'm totally dependent on God for everything.
That's right.
And if he doesn't hold me up, I will fall. And I serve a God and preach a gospel that I know at any moment he could pull the rug out from under me to make an example to show you how much grace is in my life. Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is to show how much grace that he actually has for folks. And so understand, it's by grace that we're saved and not by works. Then he goes on to say in verse 11, clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because righteousness with the law is by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. So what is the fourth tactic? The fourth tactic is to say, fine. You want to present yourself as some self-righteous jerk and try to tell people that the answer is your rules, then God's going to have somebody come up and say, okay, live up to your rules. Go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like that.
Right.
You know, apart from abiding in Jesus Christ, you can have all the rules you want to. As a matter of fact, we're going to find out that rules are the power of sin. And then in verse 13, he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. And so what happens, and this is the good news, is is that we got to repent if the fact that we've been telling people the reason why we are saved or walking right with God, or you're walking right with God because you're all holy and righteousness. You know, you just say, somebody says, well, how come you don't watch that kind of movie or something like that? You're just all goody two-shoes or whatever. It's like, no, I don't want to feed that into my, I don't want that darkness going inside of me. Right. And it's going to stir up a sin nature inside of me, and it's going to cause to tempt me to walk in darkness. I don't do it because I don't turn my head because, you know, I'm all that. I turn my head because I'm not all that.
Mm-mm.
You know, I put these things in my life because I need God's wisdom and God's light in my life. You know, we live openly before each other, so we know, say, look at my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we're dependent on God. I'm telling you how to counteract that tactic. First of all, if that tactic works on us as the church, we deserve it. Because we should have been preaching all along that we should not be preaching a book of the law. We should be preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because that's the good news. The good news is we couldn't live up to it. And Jesus lived up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And because He lived up to it, because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, because He lived up to it, we don't have to live up to it. We just actually have to make Him the Lord of our life and then begin to humble ourselves, and He empowers us as we depend and rely upon His finished work on the cross of Christ. That releases, in a way, if you could say that, the Holy Spirit in our life to empower us to walk in a way that looks to other people like we're obeying some laws, but actually we're just being led in righteousness by the Lamb of God.
That's right.
He's leading us. We're following His voice. Then He says, because of that, in 1 Corinthians 15:56, He says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So if you're actually, and this is the crazy thing, that's why you see folks trying to force the world to do something. You can say, if you're trying to force the world, that law in the world, you're in sin. Mm. There's something going on in your life. Because the law is the power of sin.
Right.
So if you're actually putting all this, like, step on a crack, you break your mom's back, step on a crack, you break your mom's back, step on a crack, you break your mom's back, and you know, you're skipping to school or whatever, and you step on a crack, and you start feeling, oh my goodness, I stepped on a crack, you know, and you start going through these emotions as a young kid.
Yeah.
You know why? Because you created some mindset
that
in whatever sin to you, sin. And so the law, these rules and regulations prove to us that we need Jesus. But guess what? Not to disobey Him, but to turn to Him, make Him the Lord of our life. And then we give Him all the glory and all the credit because He empowers us to walk out what we couldn't walk out outside of Him. Don't take credit for what He's doing in your life. Give Him all the glory. By the way, the whole world will. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and they will say, and you can read about it in Revelation, I believe, chapter 5 or 4 or 5. He said, all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Why? Because it is Him that's empowering us.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul talks about this when he has this struggle going on. I'm telling you how to counteract the fourth tactic of Lucifer here. You know, tips from Lucifer, how to organize America and the world, is in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about it. He says, listen, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and things I do, I hate. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to save me from myself? And then he says, but thanks be to God for His law. Not that He's going to obey some law. The law just lets Him know where when he is in the wrong direction, saying a wrong thing, doing a wrong thing, and it lets Him know that, hey, I need to repent and ask God to forgive me for the direction I'm going in. He's not saved by the law. But it's like playing football with no lines on the field. They ain't going to last long.
Right.
But you're not righteous, believe me, just because you get on a field with lines on it. Have you seen the Saints lately? No messing with you. Understand that. So the commands of God, the laws of God are like football lines on a football field. It lets you know where you are, which direction you need to go into, but they do not save you. And there's all kinds of teams that get on a field with the same lines on it, and they don't win the Super Bowl. So obviously it doesn't, just being on there doesn't save them or cause them to win. But it lets them know how to win.
Right.
And so that's what he says. He says, I thank God for the law because it lets him know. But by the way, he hates the sin that he does. And that's the key. There was a day that you loved it, but now you're like, and you don't hate people. You know, this is you and your sin that we're talking about, not others.
Mm-hmm.
You hate the fact that I can't believe that I was tempted and I fell to that, or I did this or said that or whatever. And then you feel convicted. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. And then you just say, God, forgive me. He goes, forgiven. Restored, cleansed from all righteousness, unrighteousness.
Let's move on.
And then he says, Romans 8:2-4, he says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, which gives life, remember he says originally he was saying that the power of sin is the law, but through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit. So you have the letter and you have the Spirit. He said, the law of the Spirit, which gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So if somebody tries to make you live up to the law, it's a perfect opportunity for you to preach the gospel to them. Or to repent if you were trying to project on them to live up to something that you yourself couldn't live up to outside of God. Mm-hmm. In verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do. So if somebody tries to make you live up to any kind of legal mindset, you're going to fail. It's just our sin nature leads you to, but if you turn to God, God empowers you to do something you couldn't do before. He said, for what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by our flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, so that the sin offering, so that he became a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in his body, in us, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sin nature, to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. America was founded on this basis, the basis of the idea that's one nation under God, and that we are accountable to God, and our rights come from God. And we have to understand that in the context of that, we send representatives to Washington, D.C. to represent us as we pray and seek God's direction in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, he has made us complete as ministers, this is Paul talking, of the new covenant, not by the letter, but by the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hmm. So the fourth tactic, and we're ending today, but our fourth tactic is from Radical Rules for Radicals, written by Saul Alinsky, dedicated in the front to Lucifer, being the first to do the organizing, mm-hmm. and in the back, dedicated to two of Alinsky's children, based on Revelation chapter 2, mm-hmm. when he says to the church of Thyatira that whoever's teachings you follow, that's whose child you are. And this is the fourth tactic. And that's, I share with you the light, how we can respond to that. Remember, even the one using the tactic that God loves them and God has a plan for their life, it's darkness that's trying to use folks to be able to fulfill Lucifer's will, but God has a plan for their life. Listen, tactic 4 is make the enemy live up to its own book of the rules. You can kill them with this, for they can no more obey their own rules than the Christian church can live up to Christianity. And yes, our president taught that for 4 years. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.